Now, let's get into the second shackle that's put on this sacrament in the Babylonian captivity of the church. This is the doctrine of transubstantiation. I need to say a little bit about this. Transubstantiation is the Catholic doctrine that when the priest says the words of consecration, "This is my body given for you," he says it in Latin, of course, in the Middle Ages. What happens then is that the bread becomes no longer bread. It is changed into the body of Christ. And likewise, the wine gets changed into the blood of Christ. It is a complete change of substance, right? Substance is in medieval philosophy, means the essence of the thing, right? That is, the essence of bread is no longer there. It's no longer bread. Right? It's now the body of Christ. It looks like bread. It tastes like bread. It feels like bread, and it smells like bread. All these accidents, they're called, are still there. All the qualities of the bread are still there. But the substance of the bread is gone, right? The reality of the bread is gone, and it's Christ's body instead. Now, this is interesting. Luther is very convinced that when you take the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, Christ's body is there, right? He agrees with the Catholics, Christ's body is there. But he thinks it's kind of silly to say that there's no bread left, right? Luther will say that Christ's body is in the bread. There's bread there, Christ's body is in it. The Catholic doctrine is there's no bread left. There's just Christ's body and the appearance of bread. And Luther's thinking, well, all right, it's important that Christ's body is there, but why this sort of extra miracle of making it look like bread when it's not? Luther thinks that this is more miracles than you need in order to have the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. And it's not biblical, and therefore, above all, it shouldn't be required. Right? If you want to be a theologian and say this is what happens, Luther says, all right, you can be some kind of silly, speculative, medieval theologian and say that's what happens. But don't require people to believe this. Don't require people to believe this. Once again, it's the issue of freedom. So Luther's willing to let it be a theological opinion, but not something that you're required to believe. Now, we'll have to wait later, we'll see. Luther is very insistent that you are required to believe that Christ's body is present in this sacrament. Because he says, Christ says so, this is my body, right? So you are required to believe Christ's promise. And there's a huge fight he has with Protestants about this, right? But at this point, there aren't any other Protestants around to fight with. He's fighting with Catholics, right? The transubstantiation issue is not a huge issue. The issue about the presence of Christ's body in the sacrament will be a huge issue. Luther will be fighting with other Protestants about that. That's coming up later, and we'll get to that. So, in Luther's teaching, the bread remains bread, but Christ's body is in it, fulfilling his promise that this is my body given for you. You'll sometimes get the Lutheran phrase that the body of Christ is in, with, and under the bread. But he also will just say simply, it's in the bread. And like the Catholics, he does say, you're never going to see it, right? You can't see it there. It's not visible to the senses. It's only visible by faith. So is there a big issue here? Well, Luther will say it's not a big issue. The Catholics will say it's a big issue, right? Precisely because the issue is whether it's required to be believed. Actually, this is an interesting feature about these disagreements. Kind of when you disagree with someone to the right of you, right, someone more restrictive, more conservative, you'll typically be saying, oh, it's not a big deal. We can be a little bit more relaxed about this issue. The person to the right of you who's more restrictive will say, no, it's a big deal. You're beyond the pale, right? You're stepping beyond the borders, right? I want the borders to be close, thin, and narrow. You're stepping beyond. It's a big deal. Luther will say, no, it's not a big deal if I step beyond these borders. Then, to the left of him come other Protestants, people like Presbyterians and such, and they're saying, oh, well, we don't believe that Christ's body is literally present there in the bread, and like you chew him with your teeth, and that's not a big deal. I mean, we both believe that there's a spiritual presence of Christ, and we spiritually receive Christ, right? And Luther will say, no, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You can't go beyond this border, right? So the more narrow your view is, you'll look to the people who have a less narrow view, and you'll say, it's a big deal. Whereas if you have the more broad and open-minded view, maybe it's not such a big deal. That's typical about how these disagreements work, right? They're asymmetric in that way. You don't even agree about how big the disagreement is. Okay, so transubstantiation, Luther critiques it, but he thinks it's not a big deal.